Are you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Your mind, your mind, your mind.
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin, hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't think about this as a problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know, they're not often discussed in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show. With your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Tuesday, it is Crab Diving Live. Hurling at you in the universe here out on the internet. Thanks for joining us. We are going to be here for the next, you know, couple of hours until 4 p.m. Pacific, until 7 p.m. out on the Eastern type coast. My name is Patrick Vile.
I'm Ryan Pfeiffer. How's everybody doing?
Wonderful.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get a lot of feedback there. I just turned our mics up a little bit. We're working with a new system here, ladies and germs, so bear with us.
Ladies and germs.
As we work on our shit here and get our shit together.
Waka, waka, waka.
Waka, waka, waka. Like I said, we're hurling at you from Los Angeles, California, IA, Koreatown. Currently a big, giant fucking truck going by outside, rumbling by.
It's so loud here.
Adding to the cacophony of craziness here.
I mean, it's no Ferguson, but this it's really, the noise here is off the fucking chain. This guy that lives next door to us, why at 7:45 would you stand out in your backyard, in the back courtyard, surrounded by people's bedroom windows, with the speakerphone, with your speakerphone on? Having a conversation.
Yeah.
At the top of his fucking stupid dullard lungs.
There was a lot of that.
I can't stand that motherfucker.
Yeah, a lot of that going on this morning. He has a very distinctive voice. He talks like this. Oh, what's going on, everybody?
Yeah. It's like a foghorn.
Like a foghorn.
It's horrible.
And so in the morning, sometimes. Also frequently,
yes,
he and the beloved dusted up a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And frequently it's her screaming.
His daughter is the wacko believer that came over here and told us that
I thought it's his
wife or something.
Yeah, I thought it was his wife.
Damn, maybe. I don't know what's doing over there, but you know, she asked us if we've talked about this before. She said she could smell drugs coming out of our apartment, but it was our neighbor.
Yeah,
using
they
sage.
They called the popo, and
they called the police on us.
Well, they called the police on somebody.
Yeah, no. The police came up here and knocked on our door.
No, outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the outside gate. I had to go down and we don't have a valet or no a doorman.
No,
nor do we have a fancy schmancy 20th century even.
Yeah,
maybe 19th century buzzer.
We don't have a buzzer at all.
Yeah, so basically, people have to kind of yell up, and then we go down and open the outside gate, and that's what happened. It was the policeman was yelling, and I went down there and opened it, and he
shot you.
Didn't I'm white.
Ooh, good for you,
white. Yeah,
I've learned the last couple of days. Damn, it's important to be white. I mean, if you want to avoid getting shot.
Especially, well, yeah, everywhere. I was going to say in certain areas, but anywhere.
This is, yeah. Oh, God.
I would think. Obviously, we've got a lot of what happened. You know, something might have happened last night in the Midwest, hear.
Are you talking about Miley Cyrus riding the electric penis?
That was. That was my favorite headline of the day. Not that it was shocking at all or anything. Just the headline was great.
Like, oh, got it.
For her birthday, Miley Cyrus rides a giant penis.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, what happened in Ferguson last night? You know, there's some stuff happened. Some stuff went on, went down, so to speak.
Yep.
And we're gonna have a call. We got a caller coming out, right, Colin?
Yeah, Becky Kluger, lawyer, comic, calling into a comment on the constitutionality of the shit. I guess is that a good way to say that?
She's gonna have a legal perspective.
Legal perspective on crab diving.
Add a little bit of class to the show. Sure. Becky Kluger, funny comedian from Los Angeles area, who also is a learned, scholarly, lawyerly type barrister person.
Right.
And she, what?
No, I'm saying right.
Oh. I thought you had something that you.
No, I mean, I have this story.
Interjecting.
No. I'm just.
And she is going to call up about, hopefully, to let us know about a little bit more about the prosecutorial process, which. From all intents and purposes, and from everything that I'm reading, it's shenanigans. There's shenanigans from the beginning.
Yeah.
From the outset, there were shenanigans about how this whole thing was presented to the grand jury and et cetera. And even to that clown show yesterday, that ridiculous press conference that Ninny had.
Which Ninny?
The prosecutor. I'll find his name. I'm going to have the fucking story open here in a second. On crab diving, hey, don't forget to follow us on the Twitter. We are at Twitter. It's at crab. I'm trying to read and do this thing at the same time.
We're at crab diving.
Thank you.
We're on Instagram at crab diving, and we're on Pinterest at crab diving. And follow us on Google Plus. And by the way, we should be giving out our phone number at some point, right? Or not today?
We should, but we got Becky calling in a few minutes, we want to get through the story. So,
oh yes, I'll withhold.
We'll take the shit splatter.
All
later.
The big stories. Miley Cyrus with her friend on the big penis. Good God!
Oh, is there more to that than just her
riding
the penis? Oh,
no,
okay.
I was trying to be funny.
Oh!
I'd like to apologize.
I thought I thought there was more to the Miley story than just her.
She's not a big fucking. Penis with
was
friend.
It like a
she,
bull riding kind of
yes.
a cock? Or
yes.
Where do they have bull riding cocks at? Is it delivered to the Cyrus compound?
I think she was at a McDonald's. They have that there instead of a ball pit.
Well, France? Where was she?
We.
What great country was she in where this is?
Not this one.
Certainly not this country. I didn't know that. How old is she?
22. She just turned 22. Good for her.
She was 21 last year.
Was
finally, people stopped screaming and bitching about her drinking her alcohol and shit.
What has she said about Ferguson? Has she weighed in? Or
I haven't seen that. The only story I saw about her, surprisingly,
was the one about the penis.
That she was riding a big giant dick.
Yeah.
Back to Ferguson.
Sorry about that.
The legal experts, which we're going to have calling in. I've got here it is. Darren Wilson's side. Before we get to Becky and the legal aspects of it. I'm sorry, I'm stammering. I'm trying to read here, folks.
No.
And find my story.
You want me to talk about the Miley Cyrus story more? No. Maybe we're done with that. I think we're done. She tweeted out a big giant. It was actually an inflatable phallus. It was supposed to mimic the inflatable phallus from her bangers tour. The big dick
the one she danced with.
That she was riding at the
that's right.
At the party. My God, you see what Cornel West said about Ferguson on Facebook?
I did not.
Holy shit.
Say?
Hashtag Ferguson. The sad end of the age of Obama. His empty neutrality, moral bankruptcy, and political cowardice is now undeniable to even his most loyal cheerleaders and bootlickers.
And bootlickers.
Wall Street criminals, drone droppers, torturers, and police who kill our precious children go free, and we weep and fight back.
Cornel West is amazing. He's really an amazing orator. And an amazing speaker.
Doesn't think much about Obama.
He doesn't think a hell of a lot about Obama.
Drone dropper.
And In fact, this morning on the Morning Wood Show with Rick Wood, our live show, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on the Crab Diving Network, 24/7 liberals streaming at you warm and live sometimes, podcasts other times. Tonight, in fact, it's very exciting. We have a brand new Hollywood Hick for y'all. Brent Paris will be ringing in. I don't know if there's any more in the ongoing Honey Boo Boo saga.
We are broke the fuck up.
We will find somebody this week that Brent breaks the fuck up with. Hilarious. Listen to Brent. 7 p.m. tonight on the Pacific Type Coast. 10 p.m. Eastern live. Prime time for you motherfuckers.
Do you think Brent is broke?
Mother truckers. Oh, yes. I apologize. That's his...
Call sign.
Do I have to say... trademark
know.
Hashtag whatever.
He probably owns it. You know, he says he's gonna on tonight's show. I believe he's breaking the fuck up with Darren Wilson.
I think he might have broken up earlier with Darren Wilson. I think a lot of people broke up.
Oh yeah.
Except apparently, Darren Wilson's fiance.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know he fucking got married in the interim before since hurling lead.
Yeah.
At an 18-year-old.
The guy's got game.
And getting ready to walk.
Well, he was on Tinder.
Or he's walked. I mean, right. There's nothing. He could go back on the force.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow. What a great idea would be, huh?
You know who's not on Tinder anymore? Michael Brown.
Yes, or on anything right yep. now. The Darren side of the story that we finally heard kind of goes like this. At about noon on August 9th, he heard on the radio there was a theft in progress at the Ferguson Market. The suspect was a black male in a black shirt.
Now, these yes. are,
this is according to Wilson and the shit that they released yesterday.
Yes.
The testimony. Moments later, he says he saw two young black men walking down the yellow stripe in the center of the street. He pulled over, and he says, he said, "Hey, guys, why don't you walk on the sidewalk?" No,
sounds like bullshit.
Yeah, let's talk cop speak.
Yes,
and even right there, there's a flag on the play for me because you know he's like, "Get the fuck on the sidewalk" or something right. like that. They refuse. We are almost at our destination. One of them replied.
I say that all the time.
Yeah. Oh, officer, I have almost arrived at my destination.
In bed, that's when I say that.
So then he tried again. "But what's wrong with the sidewalk?" he asked. That's when things got weird. His response to Brown's response, according to Wilson,
yes,
to, "Well, what's wrong with the sidewalk?" is, "Fuck what you have to say." this I'm reading from Vox.com, by the way, which says the headline might be a little biased. "Officer Darren Wilson's story is unbelievable," period. Literally.
Literally.
Period. Wow. They say that unbelievable in the literal sense of the term. Difficult or impossible to believe. This person says, "I want to be clear here. I'm not saying Wilson is lying. I'm not saying his testimony is false. I'm saying that the events as he describes them are simply bizarre."
Wow.
His story is difficult to believe.
Well, the only thing not difficult to believe is this guy got off.
Right. He said that after Brown said, "Fuck what you have to say," according to Wilson, he said he backed his car up and started to open the door. "Hey, come here," he said to the kid who had just cursed him.
Yes.
He said that Brown then replied, "What the fuck you gonna do?" And then, according to Wilson, Brown slammed the door closed on him. He tried to open the door again, telling Brown to get back. And that's when Brown leaned into the car and began punching him. So this article points out, this is somebody who allegedly just shook down a Quickie Mart.
Right.
And a police officer comes up to him and says, "Hey, why don't you get on the sidewalk?" And he says, "Fuck what you have to say."
That doesn't make any sense.
And then he says, what was the second fuck that he said? "What the fuck? What the fuck you gonna do?
Go fuck yourself." A lot of fucks.
It just seems odd.
Right.
Maybe he was hyped up on that marijuana cigarette he had 2 days before, Ryan. You know how the the right is saying he tested positive for drugs. He had smoked a blunt the day before.
Yes. The day before.
He was high as fuck.
Right. He was coming down as high off marijuana. And typically what you do is you lean into a cop car and strangle a poor white peace officer. That's what most people fucking do. Fuck off with the weed. My God.
I guess this is part of the transcript. So they say that, okay, Wilson stops his car, tries to get out. Brown then slams the car door on him, but then begins punching him through the open window. Wilson says, I was doing the just scrambling. This must be word for word from the transcript. I was doing the just scrambling, trying to get his arms out of my face and him from grabbing me and everything else. Which means I'm sure he was reaching for my gun. I'm just dropping that in there. He turned to his, if he's at my vehicle, he turns to his left and handed the first subject. He said, here, take these. He was holding a pack of several packs of cigarillos, which was just what was stolen from the market store, was several packs of cigarillos. He said, here, hold these. And when he did that, I grabbed his right arm, trying to control something at that point. I was holding it, and he came around. He came around with his arm extended, fist made, and went like that, straight at my face, with a full swing from his left hand.
Wow.
That's word for word from the transcript.
Good God.
So now Brown is swinging away inside the car. Somehow he manages... He takes a few swings at the cop. Then he says, hold on a second. And he says, hold on a second. And turns to his buddy and says, wait, hold on to these cigarillos, which I conveniently am waving in front of the police officer's face so that it confirms the fact that I was the big nasty thug that shook down the Quickie Mart moments ago.
I saw the cigarillos. I knew. It's so film noir.
He's like, I saw the... And he stupid. Looked, he looked into the audience and they went,
oh my God. Cigarillos.
Oh, the cigarillos. He said then... So that's when he said, here, hold these. Now Wilson is still sitting in his car.
Right.
Then that's when... Brown reached in the car and allegedly popped him in upside the head with somehow like a big fold.
When's the part where somebody gets shot 23 times
or
whatever it is?
Of some sort. Then he says he reached for his weapon. He considered using his mace, but it was a close range. He might get mace in his eyes too. So he's carrying out all these.
Oh, yes.
All these calculations in his brain. And he says that... He doesn't have a taser with a fireable cartridge. He says he wouldn't have been able to use it anyway. He couldn't reach for his baton, so he went for his gun. Brown saw him go for the gun and said, you're too much of a fucking pussy to shoot me. This is Darren Wilson's account.
It sounds like it was written by Michael Bay.
So,
stupid.
Like Vox.com says, again, stop for a moment. Think about that. Brown is punching Wilson.
Yeah.
Sees the terrified cop reaching for his gun and says, you're too much of a fucking pussy to shoot me.
Oh, my God.
You are too much of a fucking pussy to shoot me, sir.
Oh, my God.
How dare you? So then he grabs Wilson's gun. I know we have a caller on the line.
Yeah.
He grabs Wilson's gun. He says it twists. It shoots off. Then he gets a shot off, shatters the glass, and hits Brown in the arm. That's when the Brown backs up a half step, dives back in the car. He says he fires again. That's when Brown took off running. He exits the car, give chase. He yells at him to get down the ground. Now, this is where he says he stopped, turned, looked at me, made like a grunting noise, had the most intense, aggressive face I've ever seen on a person. When he looked at me, he then did like the hop, you know, like people do to start running. And he started running at me. During his first stride, he took his right hand, put it under his shirt, into his waistband.
Okay.
And I ordered him to stop and get on the ground again. He didn't. I fired multiple shots. After I fired the multiple shots, I paused a second, yelled at him to get on the ground again. He was still in the same state. still charging, hand still on his waistband, hadn't slowed down.
That motherfucker should be recounting this story through the at the prison yard during a PT or
absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely. I think waiting patiently on the line, who now hopefully is off hold.
Yes.
Is our constitutional expert.
Right.
Hi.
Becky Kluger. How's it going, Becky, from the News Clues podcast?
That's right.
With Becky Kluger at News
Clues. Clues with a K.
Clues
yes.
with a K at News Clues on the Twitter machine. And
right.
she's got a Facebook page, News Clues, et cetera, et cetera. How's it going, Becky?
All right. You know, yeah, this is a little overwhelming because there's, you know, just a document dump of hundreds of pages of evidence and testimony from this grand jury proceeding. So I haven't gone through all of it. I'm a little...
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you be unprepared?
But I do have plenty to say about
call
what I
this
do,
show. Now, we were just reading through the account of the poor beleaguered Darren Wilson.
Yeah.
And
let me... Yeah.
It just seems like there's just a whole lot of bullshittery going on.
Yeah, and the thing about this proceeding is, well, for one thing, in most grand jury proceedings, the defendant wouldn't have been testifying to the grand jury at all, right? Because the prosecutor, if the prosecutor wants an indictment, if the prosecutor actually wants charges pressed against the defendant, which the defendant in this case is Darren Wilson, would be, then you only put up the evidence that you want the grand jury to see that goes for your case, you know? So you're not going to let the defendant get up there and start defending himself and basically act like his defense attorney,
well,
right?
Right. I mean, weren't there, allegedly, shenanigans from the beginning? I mean, even the way it was presented, what's the phrase I've heard? That if a prosecutor wants, they can get an indictment for
against a ham sandwich.
A ham sandwich, right?
Right.
Because however they wrap it up in their little bow, they can steer the grand jury, and that this way, it was unusual that this dude, what's his name? What's the prosecutor's name?
Bob McCullough.
Bob McCullough.
So
that he dumped. He was like, well, here's all the evidence. And then here's the poor officer who gets to give his side of the story.
Right.
And use words like, he looked like a demon.
I mean, if I were, if instead of, you know, having the prosecutor show the grand jury the evidence, you just let Darren Wilson's defense attorney show the grand jury all the evidence, I don't think the defense attorney could have done it any better. Mm-hmm. That's how weird this is. And the fact that it should be so easy to get an indictment. Right. The fact that he didn't means that he either didn't want one or he's totally incompetent.
Right.
And it's clearly the first because he's got lots of experience. but I mean, so just to be clear about what a grand jury is, they're not a trier of fact, which is what happens in a real trial. Right. The grand jury.
Okay, can I interrupt you here? Who are these people?
They're just
of a grand jury. Are they? is it like jury duty? I mean, could I get sucked into a grand jury and as they're just a regular juror? Okay,
Not like other lawyers or anything. They're just a bunch of people, and that's one of the problems is that they clearly were not.
they're regular people. God damn it!
Well, I don't mean it like that. I just mean that. You know, normally what a prosecutor will do at the end of a grand jury is say, okay, now with all that evidence, you should indict, we should be pressing charges against the defendant and go to trial. That's what you should be doing, right? And what Bob McCullough did was just a data dump and then said, all right, I'll see you guys later.
Right.
So, and he was like the only voice there. There's no defense attorney, there's no, you know, so it's like, the grand juries usually just do what the prosecutor tells them to do because there's only one person telling them what to do. In an actual trial, you have two adversaries going at it, saying you should do this. The other side says, no, you should do this because, you know, and now you have to make a decision based on two opposing sides. They were really only given one side, which is bizarre because if you've ever watched Law and Order, right?
Oh, yes. Okay. Starring Jerry Orbach.
Yeah, they make the point that, like, the victims are represented by the prosecutor. That's why it's the people versus someone versus the defendant, right?
Yeah.
Like, we the people, we're, as the prosecutors, we defend victims. And so Bob McCullough's job is to defend a victim, but he was clearly just defending this cop. And the thing of it is in a way, I mean, I do think it's morally reprehensible, and but in a way, this is a problem that will continue because there is always a conflict of interest when you have a local prosecutor given the job to prosecute a local police officer, because local prosecutors are basically the colleagues of the local police.
Right. And aren't these officers also testifying in front of this grand jury, potentially in front of other cases for the other side? I mean, as the champion
Correct.
Of justice.
So, like, if I'm a criminal prosecutor, I'm going to be constantly communicating with police officers who first investigate the crimes, and then later I'm the one who charges those investigations if they go well. And so the prosecutor and the police have to be working side by side, and I'm going to need to, you know, have you as my defense witness here and there, right? Like, and so if I'm going to have this person I need to be buddy-buddy with, now I'm going to have to charge them with a crime? That's an obvious conflict of interests.
Right. And this dude also, his background wasn't his father killed in the line of duty as a police officer?
Yeah, his dad was a cop, shot by an armed suspect in the line of duty.
Mm-hmm.
And he once said that he wanted to become a cop, but I don't know if you noticed when he was walking up, he's like gimpy. He, like, lost the use of one of his legs.
Is that a medical term? That's the official
gimpy.
Medical term?
He suffers from gimpiness. Did he have a ball gag in his mouth? That kind of gimp?
Exactly. So he said once that he would have wanted to be a police officer, but because he couldn't, being a prosecutor was the next best thing. I mean, but all of that aside, like, even if he were a morally perfect person, there would still be the appearance of a conflict of interest whenever you have a local prosecutor prosecuting a local police person. And that's something that needs to be spoken to, you know?
Do you think, Becky, do you think that Sam Waterston would have brought back a different verdict?
Can I just say to you that earlier you said that, where was it that you said that McDonald's, instead of the ballrooms, the ball pits, they just have electronic dicks?
Oh, yeah.
You are so funny.
Wouldn't that be better?
I mean, the kind of person Sam Waterston is in that show, I think he would have gotten...
Yeah.
You know, and it's not... You said verdict, but I mean, it's an indictment. It's,
right.
The grand jury wasn't there to decide whether or not Darren Wilson committed a crime. They were there to decide whether or not a reasonable jury could convict Darren Wilson of committing a crime.
Well, why do we have this bullshit? Why don't we just have a district attorney or a state's attorney or whatever that says, look, these are the charges, we're going to trial. Why do we need a pre-jury?
And that's how it's usually, and sometimes there's a preliminary, I mean, different jurisdictions do it differently, and sometimes there's like a preliminary hearing where you just go in front of a judge and you're like, you know, hey, I think that we should charge this person, and here's some of the evidence. And you don't show both sides of the evidence, right? You only show your side. You're like, I found him with this and this. And then when you go to trial, that's when the defendant gets to say, wait, but it wasn't mine or whatever, or it was self-defense or whatever, right?
Not in this case, though.
But in this, so this is like, yeah, and it's bizarre because in the press conference that Bob McCullough, the prosecutor, had last night, which went a half hour,
weird,
just
fuck.
So full of bullshit.
Yeah, and
he kept talking about how, like, you know, the grand jury saw both sides of the evidence, and, yeah. And it's like, yeah, but that's not what's supposed to happen in a grand jury, you know. And also, they didn't really hear both sides because no one cross-examined Darren Wilson,
right?
You know, when he says, he looked like a demon, there was no one there to be like, so do you believe in demons?
Mm-hmm.
You know? When he said, I thought he did this and I thought he did this, there was no one there to say, well, you were clearly wrong that he shot you in the leg. You thought you were being shot. He said,
when I grabbed him, the only way I can describe it is I felt like a five-year-old holding on to Hulk Hogan.
Right, and there was no one there to say, you just testified you are 6'2".
Right.
And Michael Brown is 6'4". Is it really reasonable for you to feel like a five-year-old with someone who's 2 inches taller than you?
And another
thing. Is that reasonable?
And another thing.
Counselor.
Listen, upon my death, should I go down and there's a little trial about it, maybe somebody tried to kill me, I would hope to fuck. There are no wrestling references in any official.
Should that be in your will?
Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Listen, let me tell you something. This Ferguson shit never would have gone down if I was in charge. I would have heard that Hulk.
Here we go.
Oh yeah, I would have heard the Hulk Hogan comment. March at Darren Wilson out to the city square and said, "What do we want to do, guys? No. Thumbs up, thumbs down."
No.
Every time someone were, you know, if for every suspect there were proceedings like this, our prisons would be empty.
Oh, that's
I mean,
great,
because,
though.
Yeah, I mean, it,
well, this I, does happen for white people, right? And for cops, especially.
Wait, what happens?
This, especially cops.
I mean, I think that the reason that it was done, so there is something to be said for prosecutorial discretion, right?
Yes.
There is a lot of the time where a prosecutor could put someone up on charges and just decides not to. And there are lots of good reasons.
Isn't that what our commander-in-chief, Barack Hussein Obama, is using with his executive order to allow all those brown people to stay?
Yeah, there actually. Yeah. And so in this case, it could be, right, to give Bob McCullough the benefit of the doubt, that he just thought that he didn't want to charge Darren Wilson, even with voluntary manslaughter, which I could explain if you guys want me to. That he didn't want to charge and go to trial because it just looks like a losing case. And prosecutors, especially because this is an elected prosecutor, they build their careers on their conviction rates. Like Nancy Grace is always touting the fact that she has a 100% conviction rate. And the way that you get such a great conviction rate is by not prosecuting tough cases, always pleading them out, or just not going after them. And it's pretty shitty because in that sense, you're a pretty poor advocate for victims, you know? Because
wait, that's Nancy Grace's background, is she was a prosecutor?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But she is an awful, just reprehensible piece of shit. And even she is disgusted by this proceeding.
I just
even
can't
she
stand
is disgusted
her.
By this.
My whole should be quiet.
Yeah, she's awful.
By the way, Becky, manslaughter is a legal term for the killing of a human being in a manner considered by law as less culpable. Then murder.
But wait, what?
Right. Hold on. But let me. Can I?
It's our audience. So what's the what is voluntary manslaughter?
Well, let me get to that in a second. Let me just finish the other thing I was going
to
say really quick.
Listen to who's directing the show.
Oh yes. Listen. Relax. We got an expert guest here.
I want people to be informed.
No, please.
Okay.
Do.
So
fuck people.
I think that, you know, because the prosecutor might not have, he just didn't want this to go to trial, not because maybe he was racist or because he had this bias, but just because he thinks he's going to lose if he goes to trial. And because this is such a political situation, he can't just decide to not indict. So he just handed it off to the grand jury and then manipulated them into not indicting so that he could say, as he did several times in the press conference, the grand jury spoke. I had nothing to do with it.
But does he? I mean, he can't be that stupid that he would think it would work. I mean, that's like
no,
a 3-year old putting their hands over their face and saying, "You can't see me."
No, but it's working. You know? I mean,
how?
Because he doesn't have to go to trial now. He didn't want to go to trial and possibly lose.
But isn't McCullough's reputation, I mean, what it was, I don't know what it was pre this, but I mean, no, it's shittened. It's befouled.
Shittened.
Yeah.
I really don't know what his reputation looks like among law enforcement and other prosecutors.
Oh, well, come on.
I've never
now
been a prosecutor.
You're talking about that demo.
Bob McCullough
is going to be he's going to be in the fold out of the centerfold of Prosecutor Monthly.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Bob McCullough has been booked on Dancing with the Stars for next season. Yes.
And in St. Louis County, the voter turnout is still pretty low, and the people who turn out are white old people. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that his reputation among them is okay.
Hey, relax. The white old people love you. Go to Branson.
Right. Yakov Smirnov is waiting.
So this was totally political, especially the decision of, you know, they waited, you know, the grand jury gave the decision early in the day yesterday, and they waited until 9 p.m. local time to...
Well, that's amazing to me. I mean,
he's clearly a politician.
Right.
You know?
He was waiting for prime time.
Yeah.
And for only the most... I mean, this might be... Well, whatever. Your other question about voluntary manslaughter...
No, what were you going to say?
What were you going to say?
What are you going to say, Kluger?
I think that there might have been a thought of, like, let's wait until, you know, like, the only people that are going to be left out on the streets by the time we finally release this decision, especially because we're going to say early in the day, we're going to release our decision today, but not tell them exactly when. So people are just going to be standing around for hours and hours, growing more and more agitated. And then they're finally, when they finally do hear the decision, they're going to be disappointed. And the only people left are going to be kind of the most passionate.
Yes.
You could only predict, I mean, hindsight is 20/20, I'll admit, but you could only think that that would be the worst possible way. I mean, if your intent is to avoid violence, avoid a riot, then that was the worst possible way to do it.
Right.
And
are,
so
are we,
whether
are
that's
we putting on our
again,
tinfoil hats here and
again,
saying
that's
there's
either incompetence or it's intentional, you know?
That's
I don't know.
Tough. I mean, I get what you're saying. Is it incompetence or was it on purpose? God, because I believe in man's ability to just be stupid.
Right, but think about all the things they could have done. I mean, if I just weren't thinking, if I were Bob McCullough, right, and I was like, and I got the grand jury decision back, I'd be like, all right, well, let's go tell the people.
Tweet
like,
it.
Why would I think to myself, okay, let's wait 9 more hours, but let's tell them we have the decision, but then wait 9 hours to give it to them. Why would I do that?
You know what I would have done if I was Bob McCullough? I would have teamed up with Comedy Central with the At Midnight people. You know how they have all those tweets at night where you can, show based on Twitter suggestions. Mm-hmm. Well, they should have released it with a funny hashtag.
Yeah.
And it could have been the subject for the At Midnight show or something.
But I mean, like, the story today, and we just saw, you know, Governor Nixon's press conference. He didn't say Michael Brown's name. The story today is largely the violence, not what the fuck is wrong with our criminal justice system. It's, hey, you know, like, the pictures that people are... that people go to are the pictures of a burnt down store.
Well, you know what's odd is you sat in here before in the crab diving show, and we like to play the headline game where we read the headlines from the commie pinko liberal Huffington Post.
Yeah.
And then we dumb it down. Right. We set our clocks to 1400s.
Yes.
At the year. And we then go to Drudge Report, and Drudge is odd these days, because I went over to Drudge and I was expecting just hundreds of pictures of shit burning.
Of riots. Like, that's what I thought I would see,
like,
too.
This is right-wing jerk-off material like you wouldn't believe. Look at the brown people are rioting. But they had a picture of when the decision was announced. It said whatever the decision was, and there was a picture of Michael Brown. It was like a class photo of him looking like very non-thuggish. Like, usually they would put up a picture of him and whatever, look at him flashing gang signs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then today, this morning, I thought absolutely for sure I'd see the burnouts and everything. But there was a picture of the police line walking under the season's greeting sign that's hanging in Ferguson. Already they hung out the bullshit, the Christmas bullshit.
Oh, my God.
And so you see the jackboots marching underneath the season's greeting sign.
Yes.
And that was the photo that was there. And then it said season's beating. So Drudge is, interestingly enough, and very strangely to me, focusing on kind of the police response.
Well, yeah, and that's a very, like, I mean, the big, like, Tea Party thing, right, is to be like, government's too big, and I need my guns because there could be this big government response one day. There could be martial law. That's why I need my guns.
But is this progress? So does this mean that they don't hate black people as much now as they hate the government?
No, I think it's just that politics people. Makes for strange bedfellows sometimes. Yeah,
enemy
that's
of
all.
My enemy.
Yeah.
Shit.
So what, I mean, so now Darren Wilson, I mean, they say he's going to, they've already gotten an escape clause for him. He's going to, like, retire with benefits and shit.
He's moving out of Ferguson. He's already been on Craigslist looking for apartments.
Has he?
Well, he's still on paid administrative leave, which, is that good work?
How disgusting is that? That is just fucked up.
I mean, in one sense, I can defend that because let's say it was a good shooting, you know, and every time a police officer has to discharge their weapon in the line of duty, they have to go off duty for a little bit while there's an investigation. That would be pretty unfair to make it so that you just don't get paid every time you have to fire your gun.
Like a male porn star.
Yeah, it was a good shooting.
but I need time in between. To recharge.
I don't know if that investigation, I think that investigation is still underway, just the internal one of whether right. or not, like whether or not it was criminal, so there's no charges, but whether or not it was like, I don't know. But there's a federal investigation still ongoing, and it's possible that he could be brought up on federal charges. Do you guys remember that when those police officers that beat Rodney King, they were acquitted, right? And then there was the LA riots in 92.
Yes.
And that was after those police officers were acquitted. But then later they were brought up on federal charges.
Right.
And
civil rights type shit, right?
Right. And they were convicted. But that...
When does that happen?
This case seems a lot... It's a lot less likely that'll happen here, though.
But why?
They'll probably sue the fuck out of everybody, I hope, right? The family?
Yeah. I mean, the family should be able to sue. And, you know, the threshold of proving...
Like OJ, it's lower, right? Yeah.
Correct, yeah. But, well, here's the thing. Like, with the Rodney King beating, you saw the video, right? And it was just so reprehensible. And those cops couldn't say that they were defending themselves. They were just beating the shit out of a guy on the floor. And here, Darren Wilson has a pretty good affirmative self-defense. And now, again, that shouldn't have come up in a grand jury. I mean, this process was just totally manipulated and misused. That's something that should come up in a trial.
I have a question. In the most simplistic way to describe or to explain a grand jury is like, they just want to prove that there's enough here that warrants a trial, right?
Yeah, you're asking the grand jury to decide if there's probable cause, which is so low. Like if a police officer decides to search your car because they think you're acting suspiciously, they're acting on probable cause. When you're arrested, you're arrested on probable cause. When your apartment is searched, that's on probable cause. These are things that don't lead to prison, right? Like the threshold is lower. You're like investigations happen under the threshold of probable cause.
It seems like there's some irony here because I imagine Darren Wilson in his career has probably found enough probable cause to search people's cars and shit.
Right. And I mean, so in Lay's terms, it's like, okay, beyond a reasonable doubt is something that's the threshold for being convicted of a crime. That's like, you for sure did it. Like, I can't doubt that you didn't do this. Probable cause is like, maybe there's something here. That's the difference. And the idea that this prosecutor wasn't able to make 9 of 12 people, he didn't even need unanimity. He only needed 9 of 12 to be like, maybe. You know, and he could have just put up whatever evidence he wanted.
Right.
He could have kept out whatever he wanted, and he wasn't able to make them go, maybe there's a crime. I don't know. Go to trial and see what happens.
And what was the demographic?
I think there were 9 white people.
Nine white, three black.
Shit. Not that had anything to do with it.
Bob McCullough said that the demographics and who voted what way is never going to be released. I don't know if that's true.
That's a good idea on his part.
For sure.
That's what I'd say too if I was him. Big fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, and he kept saying, one of the more tone-deaf things, right, is that he said, you know, like, don't impugn this grand jury. You know, they gave up their lives. Don't question the I mean, I'm not disparaging them, you know? I'm disparaging
him.
This process. Yeah, him and him. The way that he manipulated
you,
them.
You, asshole. Know? We're now, after you.
Now, manipulating is what you're supposed to do to like your job in an adversarial system, once you go to an actual trial, is to be manipulative. It's to manipulate the jury. But then there's an other side manipulating the jury also, right? And because his client is supposed to be the victim, his client here should have been Michael Brown. And I mean, another way to think of it is that any violence is a crime against all of us, you know? So his client was the people, right? So, and for him to not use any resource at his disposal to manipulate them into giving an indictment was basically a dereliction of duty.
Well, I mean, they obviously don't see the people of Ferguson as people.
I mean, it's like you're playing for a basketball team and you just intentionally keep throwing the ball in your own team's net, right? It's like that. But I mean, could you imagine, I mean, if you saw an actual trial happen and then you saw the defense attorney being like, I really think this guy did it. I think my client is guilty. You'd be like, no, you're not doing it right. You're representing the wrong side right now, you know? Like, that's kind of what he did. He was representing the wrong side. It's bizarre.
But, I mean, is there going to be oversight? Is there, I mean, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Everybody's right out there saying it, except, of course, Fox News and Breitbart and Daily Caller. But, I mean, is Eric Holder going to, you know, launch before he leaves?
He's going to send a drone.
I mean, there needs to be like an overhaul of how police officers are charged with crimes, because, you know, and I like what happened, like the fact that black people are shot by white police officers so often, you know, like I think that's almost a harder, it's a harder problem to tackle, you know. I think that there are a lot of solutions. Like, you know, having body cams, oh like GoPros God. On all the cops.
Imagine if if Darren Wilson had a body cam, how this would have been different.
I mean, we really don't know because we don't know what happened.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, when Governor Nixon declared a state of emergency back in August, when the protests first got out of hand, he was then given the power to appoint a special prosecutor in this case because there was a state of emergency. And during a state of emergency, you can do things within the criminal justice system as the governor that you can't normally do. And he could have appointed a special prosecutor that doesn't normally have this conflict of interest with the local police. And he just decided not to. It's really fucked up. So something that could happen is we could have laws changed so that anytime a police officer could be charged with a crime, that decision is made by an independent prosecutor who has no connection with the local police force. That would be pretty dope.
Yeah, that would be.
That would be dope.
I mean, it seems, you know,
I heard Bernie Sanders say that.
Oh, yeah. Does he say that?
Yeah.
That would be dope.
That would be dope. He might. You like never know. Bernie, you know, I'm sure Bernie is blazed up.
The problem is, though, with all this, I mean, yeah, they should reform these laws or change them or something, but you can't account for people just being evil, fucking shitty racists. I mean, because if that is
collusion.
Yeah.
I mean, systemic shitty fucking racist. And then you drape that blue curtain
right
over it and add that layer to it. And so it's a white hood with a blue curtain. You've got a good old boy network all the way through the thing. I mean, maybe going all the way. I thought Governor Nixon hated him, but he didn't remove him. McCollum?
Right. I mean, it was just like, I don't know. Everyone was just kind of like abdicating responsibility as much as they could, you know? No one wanted to, you know, I feel like if Nixon was, I think it was a political move, knowing that most of Missouri is white and, you know, that if he made any move, he didn't want to make any moves that made it look like he was siding with the protesters, You know, when the protesters were calling for a recusal by Bob McCullough, he could have just recused himself. He could have done that.
Right.
But I mean, that's my guess, that he just, that if it looked like, oh, I'm appointing a special prosecutor, then it makes it look like, oh, so you're really going after this poor cop, you know?
Oh, my God. Well, what, meanwhile, who's looking after the kid that got shot? It's just fucking right. Gross.
They already are releasing. Tonight is ABC's interview with Darren Wilson. George Stephanopoulos was the winner of the speed dating.
Fancy. How'd they get that? Did.
Didn't you hear? There was an article about how they, you know, they, I didn't know they do this at the right. Anchors with big, huge honking stories like this. The anchors will fly out and meet these people.
No, I didn't know that.
By themselves.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And try to woo them.
Yeah.
And that this guy, that Wilson met with
Megyn Kelly?
Andy Cooper.
Okay.
He met with Andy Cooper. I'm sure he met with someone from fucking Fox. And he met with a bunch of different, he met with somebody from MSNBC.
Okay.
And he ended up picking George Stephanopoulos for ABC, who
I mean,
won. He apparently could deep throat the hardest or whatever.
Do you think Darren Wilson would pick Chris Matthews?
Right.
I mean, I'm surprised he's
picked. Why'd you shoot him?
God, if I'm Darren Wilson, it's like, I'll go with Brent Hume or find
somebody
me
the saggiest
white fucker you can dig up at Fox. And
Moyers. Well, he's kind of liberal.
Wheel him over here. That's who I want to talk to. I don't want to talk to Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, I want to be interviewed by Stephen Hawking.
Fuck that. God.
But one of the things that they've released already is that Darren Wilson is saying that he would not do anything differently that day.
Oh, my God.
He did what he was trained to do, simply doing his job. It would have gone down differently if Michael Brown were white. That doesn't matter.
Wait. Darren Wilson didn't admit that things would have been different if
Michael
Brown were white.
It would have. Oh, he asked if things would have gone down differently.
Okay.
And he said absolutely not. I may have misspoke.
I may have misspoke the truth. Hilarious.
He says he has a clean conscience. Quote, clean conscience.
That's what George Zimmerman said.
Gross.
And I have to say, what happened with George Zimmerman, that was a far less egregious process, you know?
Right.
I felt like the stand your ground law
he
was
had a
pretty,
trial, at least. I mean, it was, you know,
right.
Ended up bullshit, but he's, at least they took him to trial.
Listen, like Steve Bartman, this Darren Wilson guy is going to have to relocate.
Becky doesn't know who Steve Bartman is.
I do, too. The
do
Cubs
you know who
fan.
Steve Bartman? Okay.
Yeah, of course I do.
She's a baseball expert.
Oh, I didn't know she was a Cubs fan.
Dude, she's a big old fantasy baseball expert.
Oh.
Yeah, I used to be. I had to quit fantasy baseball a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's taken over my life. Yeah.
Do you have a bookie?
I used to. He retired. He owns a house now.
There you go, the American dream, kids. You
That's
too
right.
Can do illegal sports betting and own your own property.
Who are your picks this week, by the way?
Retire at 32. I don't know football.
Oh, okay.
I only know baseball. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
And I'm a Mariners fan, in case anyone was wondering.
Okay. Well, how do you feel about their off season? Who do you think they're going to go after?
I have no idea. I kind of, I don't know.
Right.
She's like, we're supposed to be talking about Ferguson.
How do you feel about that big mechanical penis Miley Cyrus
rode on?
Was perched upon.
Wait, what happened with I'm so confused about Miley Cyrus.
At her birthday party, they had a big giant dick for her to ride, like a mechanical bull. I guess they disguised one of those, you know, bull riding bulls as a big giant. Apparently somebody is good at that.
Yeah.
Turning mechanical bulls into big cocks.
Oh, yes. Miley Cyrus and her buddy Katie Weaver were, she posted a picture of her on Instagram on this big mechanical fucking penis. It was a tribute to some inflatable penis that was featured prominently in the Bangers.
Was this last night?
Tour.
While Ferguson was burning, was Miley riding a big rubber cock?
Oh, yeah. My joke was Miley Cyrus awaited the verdict on a big mechanical penis with her buddy Katie.
Right.
Katie Weaver.
She had her, her cell phone open, ready, waiting for the verdict.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Can I just say, too?
Yes.
can just throw out some random things that have been bothering me about this.
About Miley?
I mean, especially because on Facebook, it's like, well, I don't know if he was really attacking on those shots. Especially, I mean, just going on Darren Wilson's testimony, which I agree with what you said earlier, it's with what Vox said, that it's absurd, a lot of his taken as a whole. It just cannot be entirely...
Excuse me, gentlemen, would you mind relocating to the sidewalk? This is kind of how he described what he said to them as he pulled up in the...
You know what, just about that point, I mean, he basically says he stopped because he thought he saw the robber. Why did you see it? Well, because I saw someone in a black shirt.
But I thought
there was someone cross-examining.
I thought they had kind of proven that he didn't know about the earlier robbery.
No, he said there was like the radio call. He says in his testimony that he called back and said that he saw a suspect and was calling for backup. And if that's really true, then why are you just like instigating someone who might have just violently robbed someone?
Well, where's
being
that
like
tape?
Get the fuck back on the sidewalk. That's really how you approach a suspect?
Where's that tape?
I don't know.
Where's that police tape?
You know,
and
I don't know. There was this giant dump of evidence, so it might be out there. Just we haven't gotten to sift through it yet. Because I mean, especially because the fact that, you know. Darren Wilson says, well, he looked like a demon. That kind of floated its way to the top of the pile pretty quick.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, really? The fact that Michael Brown called him a pussy, I'm like, wow, this guy's intuition sounds pretty right on then.
Bullshit.
If he really said that.
Yeah, you pussy.
Who really
are going to do?
I mean,
this is a robbery suspect.
Yeah, yeah.
And Michael Brown was wearing flip flops and socks.
Like you said, Darren Wilson is going to approach a robbery suspect.
Yeah.
Like, hey guys, could you get back on the sidewalk, please?
Yeah. Now, flip flops and socks. I mean, that's a tough look because it's hard to get the thong part of the flip flop.
Maybe he had those little toe socks.
I don't know. Oh, toe socks. Sure.
I don't know.
Rainbows.
Maybe it's just. Maybe I just have bad experiences with flip flops.
Oh yeah.
But just the flip flops themselves make the part of, because at one point Darren Wilson says, "Oh, he started to walk toward me," and then he says, "Oh, he kind of jumped at me." You know, and this is after Darren Wilson says he already fired a first shot.
It seems like he had a lot of time to hear the evidence and make his story fit exactly what it needed to fit. Like, he was down on the ground. Did you hear that? That's part of his testimony now, is that he was down on the ground and started lurching forward and took a hop like people do when they're about to charge.
Right, that part.
And
he took a hop, so I unloaded my weapon.
Right.
He hopped. Fuck that.
That story is crafted in such a way to make it so that each shot is justifiable.
Oh, he makes it sound like he sat down and had tea in between each shot and contemplated very seriously the consequences of the upcoming trigger squeeze.
Which is, and there's an obvious inconsistency there because he says up top, I thought that Mike Brown got a hold of my gun and that they actually got a shot off into my leg. It's like, okay, so we can't believe that part. You're just admitting you were wrong about that.
You're right, counselor. He can't handle the truth.
Like, even if the first shot might have been justifiable, you know, and like the forensic evidence that, from what I understand, seems to actually make the first shot a justifiable shot. Like, I would be hard pressed to convict, to say that was not self-defense, right? I would have to believe, based on like the fact that they're like, he was actually inside the car, there looked to have been a struggle, you know, but then when he is outside of the car and walking away, like the only way that the next shots are justified is by him saying, well, I shot him. And then he seemed to bulk up. No one bulks up after they get shot. That's
the
just
Incredible
not a thing
Hulk
that
does,
happens.
Because he
gets
real angry.
Do you read comic books, Mr. Wilson? Like, that's what I would want to ask him.
He's not a fucking nerd. Come on, relax. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I mean, it's just.
By
like
the way,
maybe the blood.
Yes.
It's like one of those little dinosaurs.
Like aliens.
When you get it wet, it expands.
Oh, yes.
Then maybe that's what happened. When he bled on himself, he got bigger.
And don't feed him after midnight.
And let me just explain this too about self-defense.
Yes.
Self-defense doesn't actually have to be reasonable. It's that if you're that the person reasonably believed they were under threat of serious bodily harm or death.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that, like, okay, with all the objective evidence taken together, it was reasonable for you to believe that. The jury has to believe that the defendant reasonably believed it. So even if, like, well, okay, he obviously didn't have a gun, he obviously wasn't charging, blah, blah, blah. Like, if the jury believes, well, we think Darren Wilson, you know, believed, had a reasonable belief that he was under attack, then you get to fire, you know. But again, that's not something that ever comes up in a grand jury. That's something that comes up later in a real trial.
And the popo are supposed to be trained to make those decisions better than you and I.
Darren Wilson missed that day. He said,
"Oh, he was sick that day." Yeah.
By the way, if anybody wants some good reading material, go on Becky Kluger's wall on Facebook. Yeah. There's a great little argument going on about, like,
Miley Cyrus.
She's trying to explain probable cause, and she's arguing with this dude, and she suggests that maybe you should go look it up. And then he's like, "I don't need to." And then she says, "Since you're too fucking lazy for Google, probable cause."
Wow.
Bam.
I was a little worked up.
Yeah, well, it's a good one.
I don't even remember meeting this guy. And for some reason, he just says the most absurd shit of my life. Like, at one point, he said he hopes Lena Dunham gets Ebola. Brave statement.
That's,
you know,
very nice.
I don't know. It's a weird thing, like, doing comedy. Like, sometimes you get a friend request. And it's
why,
like,
would you
okay,
hope
have...
Lena Dunham gets Ebola? It's very specific. Even... It's very odd.
She's not even a healthcare worker.
I mean, it's not, if it's a fat thing, it's not known for, like, quick, rapid weight loss. You know, I mean, it's more of a bleeding out kind of thing.
Some people are just stupid.
You would say, I hope she gets AIDS, or I hope she gets something more.
You know, a part of me thinks I shouldn't be so mean to people like this, because I, you know, I should be, like, encouraging. No.
Destroy that part.
Right. This is the mean part is funny for me to read.
Squash that part.
Yeah.
Oh, and did you guys discuss this part? I missed, like, 3 minutes of your show today.
How dare you?
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Did you guys discuss how Darren Wilson testified that it was a bad neighborhood, lots of gangs?
No.
Like,
oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know there's, like, lots of black people around.
Yeah, he said a lot of really bad people and a lot of gangs.
Oh, my God.
Let me ask you something. Why even try so hard? Why didn't he just say in his statement, listen, instead of the hopping at me, he's like, I looked over and the guy was black, so I got my gun ready.
You guys understand.
Yeah,
you nine white people understand, don't you?
And then they would have been done with this. They would have announced the indictment, whatever, days ago.
Right. I mean, just, gosh, could you, if our criminal justice system normally worked like this, I mean, if we just tried to imagine it, right? If, like, every time you were caught with, like, weed on you or something, right?
Yes.
That instead of actually going to a trial,
you have my
trial,
attention. Yes,
right. You got to go in front of 12 people, and only 9 out of the 12. You only have to convince 9 out of the 12 that, like, dude, it was just a crazy day. Whatever, you know, like, and you're just able to talk about anything. There's no rules of evidence in a grand jury proceeding. Like, in, you know, when you watch Law and Order, sometimes people, like, you know, there's always, like, a objection sustained, things like that. You know, because there's some things you're just not allowed to say. There's certain kinds of, like, impeaching the character of the witness you're not allowed to do, things like that. In a grand jury, you're allowed to just bring up anything.
You can call him an asshole or a cunt or whatever.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Awesome. And
so if you were just able to just throw out anything you want in a secret proceeding before you even have to worry about getting charged with a crime, before you even have to worry about getting arrested, how great would that be if you had that extra buffer zone between every time you get charged with a crime?
Oh, I'd love that. I just bust out my stand-up.
It would be incredibly expensive.
For the grand jury, and then they would find me incredibly...
Yeah, you got to make yourself look likable first.
Likable.
Yeah.
But that was the thing, is how weird is it that Wilson was even allowed to testify in front of the
grand
jury?
You know,
how often do you take the almost the soon-to-be maybe defendant in to defend himself?
Well, if he's a white cop...
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
And the press dropped the ball on that so hard. None of those, because, you know, the prosecutor gave that half hour really offensive speech in which he mischaracterized the proceedings that had just taken place and his role in them. And then he took some questions, and none of the reporters were like, hey, you just totally mischaracterized what you normally do in a grand jury. What's up with that? And why did you do things completely differently this time? We know your record as a prosecutor. You've never done anything like this before. What's up?
Yeah, what's different about this one?
Yeah, no reporter asked that question.
What did they ask? Oh, when does the burning start? When does the looting start?
Yeah, there were a lot of questions just about, like, well, you know, are we going to get this later? Are you going to tell us about this particular thing? You know, but there wasn't really like a, what the fuck, dude? Why'd you do this? You know? And there had to be some legal correspondence in that room. I don't know if just they had their hand up and never got picked, but I mean, these press people, you know, the shooting was on August 9th.
Right.
It was 3.5 months ago. So your job is to get your head around these facts. You had 3.5 months. Like, that would have been my first question. Why are you doing this so differently than every other crime? I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's definitely crazy. Well, thanks for calling, Becky. We got to take our break here.
Yeah.
All right,
coming up pretty soon. But Becky Kluger from the News Clues podcast,
Liquid U,
with a K, News, like it's usually spelled, and Clues with a K.
Clues
at
with a K.
News Clues on the Twitter. She's got a Facebook page, and is it just newsclues.com?
It is.
There you go, newsclues.com. Nobody squatted on her shit. Go to newsclues.com for the latest and greatest to download the podcast there. How's the podcast going? How's things going?
It's good. Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know what else to say.
I hate it. It's really, it sucks. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being our voice of reason and telling us all that, trying to dumb it down for us.
Yes.
So we could figure out what the hell is going on with all this legal bullshit.
That's right.
No, bro, happy to do it.
And
anytime.
Feel free. We're back online with the phones now. So please call in. Again,
yes,
and we'll get you in here.
She's our Nancy Grace
again soon. No, how dare you? She should be insulted. You're not our Nancy Grace.
All right,
we'll think of somebody appropriate. Yeah. Thanks, Becky.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
TTFN.
Bye bye. The very funny Becky Kluger. You know Becky
from comedy,
stand up out here, right?
Yeah. By the way, big news. Miley Cyrus' agent just followed us on Twitter.
Miley Cyrus's fake agent just followed us on Twitter. We're going to take our little teeny little break here, ladies and germs. But first, we're going to talk about the holidays, which are coming up, and you buy shit for people. And the worst thing, don't go to fucking Walmart. Those assholes, those cocksuckers, those wall cunts. I have a story about them coming up at
La Resistance!
If you have to, if you find yourself, God forbid, somehow, for some reason, having to go buy shit on Black Friday, don't go to Walmart.
Go to Amazon.
Or, if you're going to stay home and not go anywhere, if you're going to do it wise way,
like I do,
go to Amazon and go through our portal. Go to crabdiving.com/Amazon. We get a little taste, we get a little nibble, we get a little cut, we get a little lick.
Yeah. We get what's coming to us.
That's right. What's going on there doesn't cost you anything. It just furthers the cause here. Join in the fight against the right.
That's right.
That we engage in 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. live Pacific every day here. If it ain't between those times,
go fuck yourself.
You're listening to a rerun. We appreciate you listening to us there. And if you like beer,
yes,
buy somebody a beer kit.
I love beer.
Have somebody brew your own, and then you can tweak it. You can make it the way you want it.
Oh, really?
Go to Mr. Beer. Go through our portal, crabdiving.com/beer.
Delicious.
And buy a kit for somebody in the same deal we did in the that's it. We got some music coming up for the break. Coming in first. Which one should we do? Skates?
Let's do Skates.
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 With The Catch.
Right. From the album Boyfriend. They are releasing a full-length LP in January 2015.
Release. And then we've got a song by Kevin Jordan.
A guy named Kevin Jordan. Coming up. A rap artist out of Detroit.
After that, we'll lead us back from the break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away. Do what you need to. More crab diving. On the other side.
Yay.
We Jordan here. Look. Gotta body it. Look. I know why these dudes started me. I'm like Tyson in his prime, don't spar with me. I take your whole heart out cold-heartedly. Tell these rap dudes down with no parts of me. I listen to rap nowadays, it's exhausting me. Even the hardest rappers out sound R&B. That gets no respect. My rounds while hard as an ice pick to the neck. I do this for the checks, though. Moolah, standing way to cake. Click, booyah. Cash rules everything around me. Used to have a lot of beef, I turn them all to ground beef. Haters get from around me, they all sound retarded. I'm trying to get this butter, please stay in your margin. Please excuse a partner, they know nothing about me. Talking on the ground, but my head's where the clouds be. I'm so fly, ain't nothing plain about me. But I'm so fly, everything's plain about me. Headphones on, can't hear what they saying about me. So why I'm getting cake, y'all could complain about me.
Everything around me.
Facebook.com/skates is a band and find them on skates.bandcamp.com for their music.
Skates.bandcamp.com for the other music and right. Kevin Jordan for the first one.
Look for those guys.
Or for the rap song, I mean, the second
the
one.
The latter.
The latter. Also, you know, I've had this for a while. Here's a song that we've had for a while.
Yeah.
That we could talk about just for a second.
You're walking in the woods. There's no one around and your phone is dead. Out of the corner of your eye, you spot him.
Shia LaBeouf.
He's following you, about 30 feet back. He gets down on all fours and breaks into a sprint. He's gaining on you.
Shia LaBeouf.
You're looking for your car, but you're all turned around. He's almost upon you now, and you can see there's blood on his face. My God, there's blood everywhere!
Running for your life from Shia LaBeouf. He's brandishing a knife, it's Shia LaBeouf. Lurking in the shadows. Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf.
It's Shia LaBeouf.
See, LaBeouf. That makes me like him.
By Rob Cantor. It's gone viral. It's gone crazy.
Shia LaBeouf.
And people are saying that it's like single-handedly reviving Shia's reputation, his sullied,
yes,
besmirched,
I hate myself,
befouled reputation
for liking it. Don't you love it?
I do. Because then at the end of this, the video is this guy Rob Cantor doing his performance live with, I believe it's the Los Angeles Gay Men's Chorus, and there's some, yeah, kids chorus that sings along.
It's
and
amazing.
There's somebody juggling, and there's all kinds of shit going on stage. They're in a giant old theater.
Right.
And then the end of the video, the camera pulls out, and you hear this clapping, and then the clapping becomes like weirdly maniacal. And then they turn the camera, and you see it's actually Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Hanging out there, allowing himself to be made fun of. And it really does. It makes you, yeah, almost kind of like him again.
Ugh, God damn it.
Makes you forget about standing, yeah, up in the middle of, like, what was it, Cats? Or
well,
what was he watching?
Wasn't he seeing Les Mis?
Les Mis, Streetcar. Well, I don't remember what he was seeing.
It was Les Mis. And the worst thing about him, if you want to talk about what he did that's bad,
yes,
he used to have this habit.
Transformers?
No. Oh. When he was driving his crotch rocket, those stupid little fucking motorcycles way too fast through his neighborhood, and people complained about it, and you know what, it only takes one fuck up.
He's like a Bieber riding,
yeah,
roughshod.
I really think people that speed, nobody gives a shit about these people that speed out there and don't drive the speed limit, because you could run somebody over. Right. Honestly, I mean, there's so many accidents that could happen. If you're gonna ride one of these fucking motorcycles, you gotta take, it's a serious thing. You have to take a serious amount of responsibility.
Well, you have to, don't you have to take a class?
It's a death machine.
You have to get an extra special license.
Yes.
Extra special license. We're a scotch and a half in here on crab diving afternoon.
You should not be operating a crotch rocket.
I should not be operating an internet radio board.
Oh yeah, you should.
Right now,
how else are you going to do this?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Shia LaBeouf. I just mentioned Bieber.
Yay! What a dick. What's he doing?
There was a little bit of Bieber news.
Ooh.
You're gonna hate.
I can't wait.
The Bieber news. He hasn't. I mean, he may have.
Came out of the closet.
It's a day ending in Y. Maybe back together with what's her face, and then
Selena.
They'll break up again tomorrow. Justin Bieber is giving up friends, alcohol, and weed for 2 weeks. He's going to a Jesus camp in Palm Springs, according to the Daily Mail.
I always believe that site.
It's a wonderful.
They know what they're talking about.
It's a wonderful site.
He's giving up friends.
I love this. After a summer of debauchery,
yes,
and brushes with the law, Justin Bieber is making amends.
How about just do with the debauchery and don't listen? If this little idiot didn't drive. Feel the need to drive himself, then it just would have been a summer of debauchery. No harm, no foul.
Well, but pissing.
No, yeah, that's pretty rough.
I mean, he's just a shitbag.
Yeah, he should be wheeled around in a Hannibal Lecter mask.
The egg throwing.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Okay. Off with his head.
Anne Frank.
Oh, yeah. What a shithead.
And
Frank would have enjoyed the Bieber.
He's now, actually, he's been there for a while now. I think he may have been there a whole week if he's stayed. They said he's on a self-proclaimed mission to learn how to spread the word of God, Ryan.
That's what the Blues Brothers said. We're on a mission
from God.
But it was a joke.
Bieber is at a place in Rancho Mirage outside of Palm Springs, where he will spend 2 weeks with a pastor.
Oh, my God. He's lost his mind.
TMZ first reported that Bieber was baptized this past summer in a New York City bathtub.
Oh, good.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah. Good for him.
Is that what they're calling it now?
Oh, yes. It's that yellow form of Christianity.
They say Bieber is going to exile himself from friends, alcohol, weed.
How sad.
And everything else that doesn't involve, JC.
Right. Well, good for him. Congratulations.
So, let's see if Bieber maybe Bieber realizes that, you know, the young girl panties will only be dropping for so long for him.
No.
And that it may be time to go Jesus. It might be a little early, but he may be laying the groundwork.
No, I don't mean to sound like an
asshole.
For
a full-scale Jesus career.
He doesn't need a Jesus career. See, that's stupid. He has so
but
much money.
But to stay
money.
Relevant. But he's pissing it away. Look at all those rappers. Look at MC Hammer. MC Hammer had jillions of dollars.
You know, Justin Timberlake needs to take this kid aside, this Bieber, and explain to him that you need to learn something. You need to learn to act, or you need to fucking learn how to be a real showman. You know? Because that's what Timberlake did. And now look at him.
Bieber tried acting, didn't he? Wasn't he on?
No.
Wasn't he on Law and Order?
No, that was Philip Seymour Hoffman was on there, or maybe Bieber was. I think Bieber was on. He was on Girls with Leah Dunham. I don't know.
I'm saddened on multiple levels by the death of
Justin Bieber,
Philip Seymour Hoffman, because I don't feel justified saying Philip Seymour Hoffman anymore.
That's funny. That's what
Venus Williams said. I'm not making a
joke. Or was it Serena?
Semen joke. I think it was Serena.
Shia LaBeouf
said something about one of her favorite movies. Oh, I just watched a great movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
By the way, the whoever the pastor is that's going on this retreat with the Biebs, kudos to you, my friend, on your payday.
Oh, brilliant.
How much money is that guy collecting?
Brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant. I've got, my gosh, we've got a whole bunch of news. We talked about Miley Cyrus's giant mechanical dick. We've
yummy.
Got, this one drove me crazy. This is on our Facebook. Go to Facebook, ladies and gentlemen, facebook.com/crabdriving. Join us. Spread the love there. Join in the conversations. This is, and we thank him for his service.
Yes.
A Marine, a former Marine. who is in Maryland and has now caught his moronitude and bullshittedness is has caused his daughter to fail a class because in world history class they asked her, there were assignments to study Islam as a religion.
I can't do it.
His name is John Kevin Wood. I wonder if he's related to Rick Wood.
Oh, I'm sure.
Of our morning show.
They were married.
8 to 10 a.m. every weekday morning here live on the Crab Diving Network, crabdiving.com/listen.
They used to date back in junior college.
And who kept whose name?
Oh, man? Well, back then when you dated, you would...
last name.
Yeah, he gave his boyfriend his name. Sure.
That La Plata High School, somewhere in Maryland.
La Plata!
he is threatening to sue their daughter's high school over an assignment because it included lessons on the Muslim religion. This jerk face, John...
We're just stupid, aren't we?
John Kevin Wood was banned from the high school when the school officials claimed that he threatened to cause, quote, a shitstorm. and
that's the bare minimum if you're a principal. You're right. Like, okay, today, no shitstorm. Right. All right, guys, the goal.
We're just shooting for a shitstorm-free day. Is that too much to fucking ask?
Shia LaBeouf.
He said he was going to disrupt classes because of the world history lessons. The school officials said they considered the comments to be a threat.
Yeah.
But the Marine veteran's wife and his attorneys are saying he did nothing wrong. The school's actions, they're saying, not only dishonored John Wood's service, but the service of all men and women in our armed forces who defended our nation from Islamic violence.
Oh, my God. Listen.
This is his fucking lawyer.
Okay. They're obvious idiots, but you certainly can't call a school and say, I am threatening a shitstorm upon you.
Hey, First Amendment.
Especially if you're a white guy, because when I hear a white guy say, I'm bringing forth a shitstorm, I start thinking about little fucking cabins in the middle of the woods. Guys making bombs,
right.
Militias.
Manifesto type shit.
Yeah, white guys with their manifestos, pump the brakes.
Right.
We don't want none
but
of
no,
your shit.
But no, because it's Christian, it's okay, Ryan.
Oh, God.
It's a Christian shitstorm. Therefore, we should sit with our mouths open like baby birds waiting for the diarrhea to drizzle into us.
Yummy! I'll take a large shitstorm, please.
So this idiot in the family... And their lawyers are claiming that the girl... Listen to this. This is such bullshit. They're saying that their daughter was required to affirm that there is no God but Allah.
Yes.
Tell me what fucking history class is going to be like. Okay, do Thursday.
Yes.
I need that declaration of your affirmation to Allah, by the way.
Yes.
Otherwise it'll be considered late.
Well, to
late.
Be fair,
it's an eighth of your grade. It's participation.
Osama bin Laden was subbing that day.
It's so...
He's a stickler.
Ridiculous. School officials obviously are saying that's bullshit.
Yeah.
They're saying that the class was just covering the role of Islam in the history of politics of the Middle East. Guess what? Islam has played a role in the fucking Middle East, you moron.
I got a friend that teaches school down in Florida. She teaches public school, and she's like... it's such an uphill battle to teach these kids because a lot of times their parents are just so fucking stupid.
Ugh.
And it's like, I only have so much time with these kids during the day.
And the parents undo everything you did.
Take them home.
Don't listen to what they said about them dinosaurs. It's all bullshit that the libtards are trying to cram in. It's Obama.
She pledged her virginity to Muhammad.
They're saying the family says that the lesson is Islamic indoctrination.
Woohoo!
So some boring world history teacher is like, in 1100, what is now Istanbul, Turkey, was dominated by an Islamic... Ah! forcing Islam into my pristine little cave of wonder.
Refer to the film strip. Did you ever watch film strips when you were a kid?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
We watched one Lord of the Rings film strip, actually. It's my favorite one I saw throughout my whole scholastic career.
It's so stupid, these people.
What do you do with this?
So, listen to this law center, this Christian law center that's representing him. This guy, he, quote, witnessed firsthand the destruction caused in the name of Allah.
Oh, no.
And he knows Islam is not a religion of peace. He served in Operation Desert Shield / Desert Storm and lost friends in that action. On 9/11, Wood responded as a firefighter to the smoldering Pentagon.
Holy fuck. I mean, that's some imagery.
So therefore, he should know better about the educational requirements of children in Maryland.
And could you imagine the actual lesson that was taught? Like you said, it was probably boring.
Right.
I mean, nothing.
His daughter came home and probably was like, they're like, what are you learning? What suffering are you doing?
Mohammed.
Even though it's Maryland. But I'm choosing to believe he speaks like that because, you know, that's just what how we marginalize the South here on crab diving.
Yeah.
He said that he demanded from school officials, this is probably when he was threatening that shitstorm.
A shitstorm upon your glass coffee table.
He demanded a different assignment for his daughter, but school officials were like, no, this is dumb. This is dumb. We're calling the police on you, you raging Luna fucking tick.
Right. I mean, part of me would have been like, okay, well, if we find something else for your stupid daughter to look at, will you maybe forego the shitstorm?
Fuck him.
I know.
And his stupidity.
But it just must be exhausting if you're an educator to constantly deal with these morons. Because what an uphill, hopeless battle.
If you toss the seal a carp, it's gonna bark again. And
oh, yes.
I don't think you want this idiot barking.
No more carps!
School said, F you, we're not giving your daughter another assignment. She's got to do it. Write the word Islam. Right. Sorry.
It's not like they're sending her to a sleeper cell.
So he said, my daughter ain't doing it, and told his daughter not to do it. She didn't turn it in. She received a 0.0.
That's the worst grade you could ever get.
She got a failing grade for that.
Jesus or...
assignment. Now, she hasn't failed the class. She failed that assignment.
Neither one of the bullshit deities that we've mentioned would approve of that. Neither Jesus nor Muhammad would approve of a 0. Not even trying, no effort.
His attorneys, these attorneys who should be a fucking shame to themselves, unlike Becky Kluger, who is a prime example of honor among barristers.
Yes.
True to his Marine training, John Wood stood his ground. He did not retreat. Yes, his daughter has received a failing grade in her world history class, but the story is not yet.
Are all these white people, are they going to use the phrase, he stood his ground, as much as humanly fucking possible?
I'm standing
my ground.
Yeah, they love that one.
God, just like that guy that murdered the kid in Florida.
That's right, George Zimmerman. We spoke on him earlier.
Child killer.
With Becky.
Right.
Becky Kluger. I've got some other news here. Seem like I have a shit ton of news. No,
that's great, man.
I'm going through it.
No, you don't. You have a shit storm.
I do have a shit storm. Oh, Glenn Beck.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. We might actually... Did we play a Glenn Beck moment yesterday?
I
think we did.
Briefly.
We blew that load, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I apologize.
Still here.
I
just stepped in it.
I do. Gross. Did we play Coach Dave? I don't think we got to Coach Dave.
We did not, sir.
Let's play us a little Coach Dave Dobenmeyer.
He's just an absolute asshole. I can't stand him.
Yeah, yeah. Production values ain't great. Sits in front of a green screen.
He's a hack.
He's nuts. Nuts off his balls.
Right.
So here's Coach Dave with his latest. I think this is about Obama.
And unfortunately, if we look at what's going on, most of the compromise that we see happening in America is happening on the right. And I like to use an illustration like this. Let's say you have a position, and here's the position, no homosexuality. Sodomy is a crime, which used to be in America. And along come the left, and the left says, well, listen.
You know, we did play this already because I remember him being wistful about the good old days when sodomy used to be.
Oh, it used to be a crime. It used to be more. When he would do a little sodomy, it used to be a little bit sweeter when it was against the law. Is that his point now? It's like it's legal. It's like it's boring.
Right. Oh,
I don't care anymore.
It's how America has fallen.
You've took the fun out of sodomy.
I've got a little bit of... Oh, we already played Glenn Beck. Here we go. Our friend Pat Robertson.
Oh, yes.
Since let's switch right.
Still alive?
Since we already played that, Coach Dave. Pat Robertson, at least you can't see the strings
right.
that are moving him around if he ain't.
Or little bolts in his Frankenstein head.
Yeah, if he's a Muppet or an animatronic or something.
I think he's a hologram like Biggie.
They're doing a fucking great job. He is...
Tupac was a hologram, by the way, not Biggie.
It might be more power.
Pat
Robertson.
Significantly
more power to get a Biggie hologram.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a large man.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jackson, they did a hologram also.
They really?
Yeah. They had to turn it off and started chasing kids.
Oh,
in the
did
audience
it?
And
yeah.
Pat Robertson was talking about something. This, I personally am going to take offense to that Pat Robertson is speaking of. First of all, this is an Ask Pat moment, I believe, where Terry, his beleaguered co-host, sits there who agrees with every single fucking
word
Pat says.
So Terry is included in this.
Terry, you will hear first.
She is my favorite.
She will be reading the email, setting the ball into the tee for Pat
right.
to tee-ball it and to give the opinion of the Lord. But here's Terry with the question.
This is Adriana, who says, my husband is really into computer games, and lately he's been playing this game called Arch Age. I tried playing the game before, but I stopped because I didn't like that there's a lot of witchcraft, spells, wizard stuff, and praying to these figures in the game. I felt it wasn't right. My husband says I'm just overreacting, that it's just a game. It's not like he's actually doing all that stuff. So I want to know, is it okay as a Christian to play these kinds of games?
Let's pause it right there as Pat's taking his breath.
You've heard this, correct?
I have heard this.
So you know his answer.
I do know the answer.
God, then see, this is tough to me because part of me thinks Pat could be like, well, you know, you need to relax. It's the way it is now. People play video games. It doesn't mean anything. You still believe in Jesus and I play video games. I play Call of Duty. I love it. Blah, blah, blah. Or it could be like the shit is of Satan, of the devil, and it's distracting you from praying to Jesus.
Let's recall that.
Damn.
Remember the woman who took in that really nice Muslim neighbor of hers?
Oh, yeah.
Who was a really nice, kind gentleman and didn't bother anybody, and he needed a place to stay for a little while, and she took him in, and then as she was walking by, she saw him on his prayer rug in his room praying. And she quietly walked away and apparently fired off an email to Pat and Terry.
Yes.
And said, well, you know, is that okay? What should I do? I didn't really feel comfortable with that. And Pat, instead of saying, don't worry about it, it's okay, said, he's inviting demons into your house. Get him
What are you supposed to do? Stab him in the brain?
Right.
Like in Walking Dead?
So I don't want to influence your decision.
Okay.
And your prediction at all.
I think Pat's,
in that aspect.
This is all of the devil, of Satan, 100%.
But she did mention the word witchcraft and spells.
And praying to something.
And shit like that.
Right.
So here
did you
is,
play this video game, by the way? That they're
I haven't played this
Arch,
one. No.
What is this? Archangel?
The Archmage, Archangel, or whatever. But there's, there's a lot of...
So he hates
there's
this.
Magic users in every fucking game online.
It's all it's all satanic.
It is. Here's Pat's answer from right from the Lord.
We did a long speech. It was a big thing about Dungeons & Dragons and people...
Okay, now I'm going to pause right there.
Oh, yeah.
Because right away it goes back to Dungeons & Dragons, which has been besmirched for decades.
Oh, sure.
Since the early 70s when Gary Gygax and his buddies.
How many years were you a dungeon
who
master?
I met.
Oh, did you? You met Gary who?
Gygax.
Oh, Gary Gygax.
Or Gygax. I heard Gygax. Some people pronounce it. G-Y. I know. That's why I believe they pronounced it Gygax.
What was it like when you met Gary Gygax? What was it like? Was it cool? Or did you get to ask him questions?
He was a dude.
Yeah.
I just was like, you know.
Did you get a picture with him?
It was at a gaming convention.
Oh, my God.
May have been at a gaming convention back before they were cool.
I hope you brought condoms to that.
And I did. Yeah. I still have them.
Gary Gygax.
But. You know, right away they go for Dungeons and Dragons. They love
that. Do you hate
one.
That? Does that bother you? Because people are always like, oh, you know, Dungeons and Dragons is satanic.
Only because I played it for quite a while.
Right.
You were in my teens, in my ute.
How long?
And it just the for people to say that it's satanic is ridiculous. It's a fucking game for nerds.
As a dungeon master, you feel marginalized.
I do. I should be protesting.
Sucks. Right. Yeah. Go burn something.
I feel like I need to flip a car. Here's more Pat slandering.
Go flip a smart car.
Slandering the gaming community.
Peach, there was a big thing about Dungeons and Dragons, and people actually got absorbed in that stuff. They took on those roles, and they began doing horrible things, and it was almost like an invitation to demonic possession. So I think playing some of these role games, I don't know which one they told, I don't do it, but I think, you know, should a Christian do it? The answer is probably not. I think we shouldn't get ourselves involved in something where we're role-playing a thing having to do with demonic forces.
There goes that devil costume in Pat's, Pat's sexual rotation.
You hear that that syllable stress? Demonic.
Demonic forces.
Demonic forces.
Just like apparently Michael Brown.
Oh,
demonic,
wait.
Just like Michael
that.
Brown looked.
Michael Brown, was he a gamer?
He was possessed. He was like, it was like a five-year-old
right.
trying to hold on to Hulk Hogan is what Darren Wilson said.
Right, right. We know he was a violent stoner.
Yes, yes.
Was he a gamer? Was he a dungeon master?
I don't know.
Did right before he attacked the police officer, he rolled the die.
Right, and apparently rolled really poorly.
Yeah.
Really, really poorly.
Yeah, Pat Robertson is just Looney Tunes. He is cuckoo for cocoa
puffs. Out of his mind. And sometimes it's just plain funny. Like, this is funny. Who cares? Other times, it's heinous when he's talking about the single moms who better get out and get fucking married.
Well, don't you feel bad, though, for somebody's parent listens to this stupid thing about Dungeons and Dragons? What if you play and all of a sudden your mom's like, no, you can't play that anymore. Pat Robertson said it's demonic.
Yeah, there was a 15-year-old or something recently where she was like, the mom sent something in about her 15-year-old.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, that poor kid, poor child.
He's just a dumb kid.
Is now having parental decisions made by this lunatic, Pat fucking Robertson, who thinks that the guys in San Francisco ran around giving each other AIDS with secret rings full of blood.
The AIDS.
The stiff.
Yeah, he sucks. Eat a dick, Pat.
Speaking of sucking and eating a dick.
Yes.
Yes. Another frequent right-wing nut job that we like to play here on the show is Mr. Brian Fisher.
Oh, God.
Of the American Family Association.
This guy makes me want to drink.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
He is a profound asshole. Brian Fisher, you know, he's got one of those internet radio programs that any motherfucking loudmouth can do. And
but ours is really good. I mean, we're better than most internet
radio
shows. You know, we can say that. Fuck that. I don't give a shit. Find me a better internet radio show. Everybody else sucks.
That's right, motherfuckers. Where else can you find Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas trailer?
Do you ever feel like Christmas has been hijacked?
So, Brian Fisher of the American Family Association, I believe, one of those, you know, we love Jesus, family, value, American, so Eagle it's associations.
It's two heifers from Minnesota in a basement.
Right, million moms.
Yeah, with 18 AOL email addresses apiece. You know what I mean? Bullshit.
Brian Fisher has some opinions.
Ooh.
He's got some opinions about President Obama.
Oh, does he?
You may know him as the Kenyan Muslim in the White House.
Is Brian Fisher a birther?
Whose middle name is Hussein. Oh, yeah. He's talked about the birth certificate at length.
There's a crease in it.
So Brian Fisher, here's him talking about a tactic. He's trying to give wisdom to those on the right.
Yes.
Now,
oh, okay,
on how to actually impeach, how to get this guy impeached.
This is why they put impeachment in the Constitution. They were anticipating a situation exactly like this with a president who is out of control.
Black.
Right. The people that wrote the Constitution that owned slaves, right, that had wooden teeth. You know what I mean?
Right.
That when they got
this
sent,
is exactly what they would have done if a black guy got into office. They would have impeached him.
They put a leech on their neck when they have the flu.
Right.
This is exactly the situation they were envisioning.
Exactly.
President who is out of control, that is acting unilaterally, that is acting without legal authorization for what he does, who is flouting the Constitution. There is a solution to that, and the solution is impeachment.
Flouting. What'd you do yesterday? Oh, I flouted all about. I even flouted the Constitution.
But impeachment is breaking the law. It is committing a crime.
Yeah.
You are then impeached. It's not, we don't like you.
Right.
We're going to impeach you. And that's all they've got.
But what crime did Bill Clinton commit when he got a blowjob in the Oval Office?
He lied to Congress. Yeah, that's right. Perjury.
What are you gonna do? Be honest about that.
Well, yeah.
Come on.
That would have solved a lot of problems.
Yeah, sure. deny.
No, he should have said yes. That's my jizz on that dress. We've got some family problems. Hillary ain't yanking it as frequently as she used to. And
it's a good time to be an intern.
This is, what's going on. It was a bad situation.
He should have divorced Hillary.
He was in a place of power over her. It was a shitty thing to do. It was dumb. It was dumb.
Should he have married Monica?
Yes, biblically.
Yeah.
According to the Mormons. He could have just added her. See? Just bring her in.
I agree.
Put her in a different way in the White House.
It was dumb, and the whole thing was dumb, and it was dumb for him to lie about it. But it's even more dumb that we give a shit. You know what I mean? Like nobody. What did Berlusconi do while he was in office?
On some level,
he's no Berlusconi.
On some level, if your personal life is that fucked up, and you're expending that much energy and thought,
it was fine.
To what's going on because of your dick. It's going to affect your job. You're going to be sitting there, no matter what, knowing this shit's going on. You're going to be thinking about that. It's going to be hard to read some transatlantic treaty while you're thinking, oh, my God, I got to see Hillary in 27 minutes. She's going to rip my dick off.
That's true.
It affects your decisions, and that's why, it's not necessarily the salaciousness of what these guys do. It's just the bad decision process. Plus, your personal life's so fucked up. You're there to help the country.
Yeah,
we don't want you worrying
about
your adulterous.
Yeah, but do you think Bill Clinton or Hillary has feelings at this point or at that point? I don't think they give a shit. At that point, please. I mean,
maybe, but it's, even if it doesn't, it then turns into a deal. Because then, tell me she didn't get mad at him after it came out in the public. Even if she has no feelings, they hate each other, and she's like, let whatever intern suck you, I don't give a shit. Stay away from me.
Right.
Once it came out, though, she's a political shark. She knows that it's the most horrific thing that could happen. You tell me there weren't some discussions?
Yeah.
There weren't some woodshed takings for Bill?
Maybe.
Then affected his
decision process. The country.
Right.
I think it was fine. I would take Bill Clinton navigating blowjobs and running the country rather than George Bush.
Well, there's that.
Fully sober and wide awake.
I'm not. I'm my just friend. Saying it I did mean, affect him. I'm just. I'm not saying what level.
I think I don't know. Bill
he's
Clinton,
still brilliant.
Bill Clinton can keep lots of plates in the air. That's all.
He can juggle hey, all these plates.
Have a blowjob and run the country at the same fucking time.
Here's some more Brian Fisher.
And that's why I think we need to continue to use that word, and we need to continue to talk about that word. You know, one of the ways that social change happens, you know, I'll give you a perverse example.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So this is how social change happens. I'll give you a perverse example. Where do you think he's going here?
Let me start masturbating.
I'll give you a perverse example. The homosexual lobby, what they said, look, we want to overhaul straight America. We want to turn them into thinking this is not aberrant sexually deviant behavior.
We want to hide your kids, hide your wife. We want to rape all your kids.
Everybody.
Up in
Kim
here.
Park, what is that? He's climbing your windows. He's snatching your people up. Trying to rape them. So you need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
What was that? That one word he says before deviant behavior. Aberrant. God.
Aberrant. Yeah.
Deviant behavior. Gay. Right. He's way into it. I think he wants some aberrant, deviant behavior.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like, oh.
He who cries the hardest. Jesus Christ. Wants it the hardest.
He goes out at night. He's like, where's my latex chaps?
God, and who cares? Now, today I saw an article. Yesterday, it's funny. If you go to crabdiving.com, you can download yesterday's. Soon you'll be able to download yesterday's episode of Crab Diving.
Cha-ching.
It'll be on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yay.
And that's where you can download past episodes of all the great entertainment here on the network. The Cantilinguists. The Daily Upper Decker, the Hollywood Hick, all the stuff going on up in here.
That's right.
I went into promo mode and lost.
Oh, by the way, we got the Morning Wood every morning, 8 a.m. to
right.
10 a.m.
But we talked about this yesterday. You can download this. I don't remember what I was talking about.
Abhorrent, homosexual, Brian, deviant behavior, ball gags,
here's more
latex.
Brian, here's more Brian.
We want them to think this is wonderful. How do we do that? Well, number one, we just use the word homosexual over and over and over again. We just keep talking about homosexual, homosexual, homosexual.
So they numbed us. They kept ramming us.
I love it.
Until we couldn't feel it anymore.
Homosexual.
Homosexual.
We get people homosexual. Accustomed to it. We get them used to it. We get past the shock factor of what the word homosexual actually means. And they say, don't let them think about what homosexuals actually do. That'll gross them out. So just...
But all they can do is think about what the homosexuals actually right. do.
And big, fat, white, pasty, straight people doing whatever they do in the bedroom. That's not gross.
Oh, it's not gross.
Please.
Shitting on each other.
Homosexual. I'm going to open up homosexual Starbucks just to get the word out. Can I get a grande homosexual latte?
I'm sure Brian Fisher and his pumping his wife is a lovely
yes.
scene. It's beautiful. Straight sent straight from the Lord.
I just vomited in crab diving studio.
Use the word homosexual over and over and over again. And eventually people will get used to it. It will become normal. It'll become a part of kind of the lingo. Well, that's exactly, I believe, in a positive sense, what we need to do with impeachment. But let's just keep talking about impeachment all the time. Let's make it a
They have part. Been talking about impeachment.
What about homosexual impeachment?
Ever since Obama took a wrong turn in the White House, they're like, oh, he went in the wrong room. Impeach that motherfucker. Impeach him, impeach him, impeach him.
Homosexual impeachment. God, you know what I'm thinking? We need a gay president. Damn it. That would be the best. Yeah, we need a gay president.
We do. I've got another quick clip. It's a Brian Fisher moment.
Ooh.
Here. This is him talking about, you know, remember in New York they had that great stop and frisk thing going
oh, yeah.
on that. Where if you were brown and looked, I don't know, brown.
Yes.
The police would stop you.
What about if you were white?
No, you're okay.
Go about your business.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations.
Listen to Brian Fisher talking about stop and frisk and who actually benefited.
Oh my God.
From it. This is
Republican mind jujitsu bullshit.
Amazing logic going up in here.
And you know who were the greatest beneficiaries of stop and frisk? The bulk of the potential perpetrators that were arrested under stop and frisk were blacks. You know who almost exclusively were protected by stop and frisk? Other blacks.
So He's doing that Giuliani thing because, you know, Giuliani is out yapping his maw.
Yeah.
About how, well, you know, 7 out of 10 black people kill other black people or whatever the hell he's
Giuliani.
Saying. 70% of murders are black on black.
Giuliani.
Or yeah.
I can't come to the phone right now. I'm turning Broadway into Disney.
He's like, well, stop, stop killing each other and right. you won't need those cops there with those tanks. That's what he's saying. You brown people. You won't need a big white massa if you black people will stay in line. Is
pardon me while I white explain this to everyone.
Right. Meanwhile, there's a meme going around of some white guy throwing some big log through a bus window after the San Francisco Giants.
Well, won. Listen,
and you know
it was a great victory for the Giants. Right. They played a really nice series.
Exactly.
And, you know, a log is in order.
So here's more Brian Fisher.
Frisk other blacks. These other areas blacks were just riven with black on black crime. Stop and Frisk started to bring those numbers down. When you go away from Stop and Frisk, which Mayor de Blasio has done, you are endangering black citizens. It's like,
so if you don't stop each and every one of those black motherfuckers and turn them upside down and make sure you take away all the contraband and all the knives and the guns,
yeah.
they're just going to kill each other.
Black on black homosexual and impeachment.
While you catch them,
yes,
we should probably sterilize them and
perfect.
Release them back in the wild, you know, just to be responsible human beings. That's where their argument goes next, I'm
Drain
sure.
their sack after you right. search them for weapons.
Right.
Lovely.
Here's the end of the Brian Fisher clip of Moron.
Like a hate crime against black citizens. You are exposing them to risk by removing a law enforcement tool.
So wait a minute.
It's so dumb.
It's a hate crime by stop and frisk.
Okay, I follow you.
Really?
No, I'm joking.
I don't follow me. Oh, okay.
I'm honestly...
Like, holy shit, where'd you get that from?
No. I'm trying to understand. I really, for a second there, I was just going to try to listen to this lunatic and try to follow his way of thinking.
I don't think you can. I just don't think it's possible.
And listening to him talk about stop and frisk in New York City like he lives there. He doesn't know shit about something. Where is Brian Fisher?
I don't know. I wonder where he lives.
Oh, hill somewhere. He's in somebody's basement.
Well, that's the end of the show.
Oh, my God.
We'll find out where Brian... We'll stick our news hounds on the where Brian Fisher lives.
He lives.
Find out where he broadcasts from.
He resides in Hades.
Listen to us every day here, weekdays, 2 to 4 p.m. live, and then we rerun on the Crab Diving Network throughout the night. Don't forget to listen to all the other great entertainment tonight. A brand new spanking episode of the Hollywood Hick, 7 p.m. Pacific.
We are broke the fuck up.
10 p.m. out on the Eastern Tide Coast. Follow us on the Twitter at Crab Diving. Facebook is facebook.com/crabdiving. We're on Instagram. We're on G+. We're all over the fucking place. Hide your kids, hide your wives. So don't forget to follow the very funny Mr. Ryan Pfeiffer, who's going to be doing comedy somewhere soon.
In the panhandle of Florida somewhere.
Yeah, coming up soon after the Turkey Day. He'll be broadcasting from the panhandle. Follow him on the Twitter at Radar Comedy.
Follow very funny Patrick Vile on Twitter at Vile Experience.
Listen.
Oh, so vile.
Thank you. Listen to us 24/7 on the network. crabdiving.com/listen. Go to crabdiving.com, buy shit through the Amazon portal.
Bye.
Like us, love us. You know, I don't know. Fuck Ferguson? What do we say?
Yeah.
I don't know. We apologize, world. It wasn't our fault.
Fuck you, white people.
I think we'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook. Facebook.com/crabdiving. And on Twitter and Instagram @crabdiving.